32 states already protect victims of crime with constitutional rights, but not South Dakota. Amendment S, Marcy's Law, will change all that.
This ad is part of a six-figure radio campaign that puts to music the Marcy's Law message. A state's laws protecting victims are insecure if they're not backed up by a constitutional amendment. Advocates are working state by state. They've been successful in California and Illinois. This year, they're campaigning in South Dakota, North Dakota, and Montana. Jason Gloat is the South Dakota organizer.
The accused and criminals have extensive constitutional rights at the federal level and at the state level, and we argue it's only fair that their victims also deserve constitutional rights.
The Marcy's Law website ranks states according to victim protections. South Dakota is listed as in progress. Other states with no constitutional amendment, such as Minnesota and New York, are listed as having no protections in spite of having extensive rights under statute. Gloat says those state laws are subject to change every time the legislature meets. And under law, there's no or else. No sanctions for judges, prosecutors, defense lawyers, court services officers, victim advocates, jail and prison personnel, and so forth, who fail to observe those laws.
The state statutory rights that we have now have no teeth and are not enforceable. The victims have no standing to have their rights enforced.
The version of Amendment S filed with the Secretary of State's office allows a victim to sue in order to have those rights enforced, and the amendment directs the court or other authority to act promptly and apply a remedy in the same manner as the court would protect a defendant's rights.
I think we can all agree that no rapist should have stronger rights than the victim.
It is time for equal rights for victims. It is time for Marcy's Law.
Although opponents would disagree, and this Marcy's Law ad implies otherwise, Gloat says this amendment does not pit a victim's state rights against a defendant's federal rights.
Nothing in Marcy's Law will trump the rights the accused already have. And that's important, and that's something I fully support. I would never support a law that would change that. That's something sacred in our judicial system that cannot be changed.
Marcy's Law elevates crime victims' fundamental rights. The right to be heard. The right to be notified. The right to restitution. And the right to be free from harassment.
A strong movement to recognize crime victims' rights was sparked in 1982 when President Ronald Reagan commissioned a nationwide study. Gloat says the Marcy's Law for All campaign relies heavily on those findings.
That task force, after extensive research and study of some of the best legal minds in the country, determined that victims were being oppressed, that there was an imbalance in the judicial system that was weighted too heavily against victims.
Out of that study came an attempt to add victims' rights to the Sixth Amendment, which establishes a defendant's rights to have a speedy public trial, to confront witnesses, to call witnesses, to be represented by a lawyer, and so forth. At the end of that recitation, the task force recommended adding the following sentence. Likewise, the victim, in every criminal prosecution, shall have the right to be present and to be heard at all critical stages of judicial proceedings. That sentence was never added, but Gloat points out that the task force intended for victims in every criminal prosecution to be granted the right to be present and to be heard, and that's what the language of Amendment S accomplishes. Gloat says if the amendment is approved, the state's attorney prosecuting a case still has the ability to determine whether someone is a victim.
To be a victim, they have to have proximity to harm. They have to be able to articulate that they are, in fact, harmed physically or emotionally because of the crime. If they can't do that, they can't be a victim. And the state's attorney will still have the authority to determine who the victims are, subject to appeal. If somebody disagrees with the state's attorney, they would have the ability to appeal and have a judge make that decision.
Currently, South Dakota has a Crime Victims Bill of Rights in statute. It specifies that rights are granted to victims of violent felonies, as well as victims of stalking, partner violence, violation of protection order, and DUI. Under Amendment S, all victims of all crimes, not just those defined in statute, have the right to be notified and to speak at hearings where the defendant asks for bail, enters a plea, is sentenced, and comes up for parole. Under Amendment S, a victim also has a right to attend and speak at adjudications and dispositions, which are terms used in juvenile proceedings but can have broader definitions in law. Gloat says a new automated system launched last month by the Attorney General will take care of concerns that there currently aren't enough employees in the criminal justice system to make all those contacts.
Because of the new technology that we'll have in place with the statewide automated victim information notification system, which is called SAVIN for short, will automatically do the notification requirements, so you won't have to hire any new people at all.
That system is being piloted right now in a few select counties, with statewide coverage expected to be in place soon.
Theoretically, you wouldn't even have to talk to a victim, which I strongly discourage. I think it's important for prosecutors to communicate and talk with victims, as almost all of them are already doing now.
Now you have to face the criminal justice system, a system that too often sees you as just another piece of evidence.
The overbreadth of the definition of a victim is one of my principal concerns as a prosecutor for how this would affect the ability to treat the true victims of a crime appropriately.
Mark Fargo is Pennington County State's attorney. He reads from Amendment S, which expands the definition of victim to other people.
It also includes a spouse, parent, grandparent, child, sibling, grandchild, guardian, and any other person with a relationship to the victim that is substantially similar to a listed relationship.
Fargo says a plain reading of the proposed amendment allows all these relatives to claim victims' rights.
Your cousins might feel that they are like siblings to you and could claim rights under this statute. Your siblings could certainly claim rights under these statutes.
The same type of amendment is on the ballot this fall in North Dakota. That state has cleaned up the language so that family members have rights only if the actual victim is unable to speak. But Fargo says South Dakota voters won't see that version. Brace yourself for some complexity. When he says people, he means family members.
The way it's written, and again, I think the drafting was sloppy. It doesn't belong in our Constitution. And it opens the door. What the language says is that we can exclude people in the case of a deceased, incompetent, minor, or incapacitated victim. It doesn't say that we can exclude any of those people in the case of a victim who can represent himself or herself.
In other words, he says all those relatives cannot be excluded even if they're acting contrary to the best interest of a competent adult victim. They can be excluded if they're acting contrary to the best interests of an incompetent victim. Fargo says these consequences might be unintended, but under the language of Amendment S, they exist. And unlike state legislation, an amendment to the Constitution cannot be easily fixed if practice shows it to be unworkable. Fargo notes that Amendment S also specifies that rights shall be extended to all victims of all crimes.
And what will end up happening is that we will create a constitutional right that goes all the way from disorderly conduct through very minor offenses such as shoplifting, and we will treat every one of those cases the way we now treat cases of sexual assault, aggravated assault, murder, attempted murder, arson, robbery. All of those rights now extend down to the smallest misdemeanors where anybody has been affected by a criminal act.
Because of the extended definitions of victim and crime, Fargo disagrees with Jason Gloat's contention that the Savin system will take care of the extra workload created by Amendment S.
It doesn't take care of the fact that each one of these victims individually has the right to sit down and meet with the prosecutor before a plea offer is made. Not if the principal victim has not done so, each of them individually has that right, which we are now going to enshrine in our Constitution. So how do you streamline that? You can't. How do you streamline the process of sending out the pre-sentence investigation? You can't.
Fargo refers to Section 12 of Amendment S that allows crime victims to receive a copy of pre-sentence reports. This is a very controversial piece of the proposed amendment. After a defendant is found guilty, court services officers investigate aspects of the crime and offer a report to the judge to consider before passing sentence. The report can contain mental evaluations, school records, and statements both for and against the character of the defendant. It can also contain details about the victim, including a statement from the victim to the judge detailing the effects the crime has had on her or his life. A pre-sentence report is now closely guarded by law, with copies provided to the prosecutor and defense attorney for their review. The report is then returned to the court services officer who prepared it. Fargo says opening up that report to scrutiny outside the criminal justice system affects a victim's privacy as well as a defendant's.
You may or may not, as the direct victim of crime, want them to have those rights or want them to have what would be included in the pre-sentence investigation, a very detailed description of the criminal events, which might also include then things that you would rather not share.
Section 12 does specify that the victim cannot receive the portions of reports made confidential by law, and current law makes pre-sentence investigations confidential. So if voters approve Amendment S, the judicial branch will have to sort out whether pre-existing state law invalidates a portion of a new constitutional amendment. Fargo says this amendment will lose when it comes up against the U.S. Constitution, leaving the South Dakota criminal justice system in a tough situation.
A defendant's federal constitutional rights are going to trump a victim's state constitutional rights under the Supremacy Clause. We are not going to be allowed to violate the federal constitution just because the state constitution has told us to do something that may be in conflict. But then we've done one of two things. Either we've created a right and enshrined it in our constitution, which we have no ability or intention of enforcing, which seems unwise to me, or the remedy for the victim has to be something other than in the case itself. In other words, some other litigation, some other lawsuit to enforce their rights. Either of those seems like a very bad outcome for the criminal justice system. You shouldn't have rights enshrined in our Constitution which you can't enforce.
Imagine you or a member of your family is the victim of a violent crime. You may think the trauma is over, but it's not.
Once you've been a crime victim, you'll never go back to how it was.
Sharon Calamine worked with victims of violent crime for more than 26 years before retiring earlier this year.
You're going to have to establish a new normal. And, you know, folks struggle with getting to that point where they have a new normal.
The former director of Crime Victims Assistance in Pennington County says she cannot support Amendment S for a few reasons. She agrees with Mark Fargo that victims' privacy might suffer. She shares his concerns that ambiguous language will complicate criminal cases. And she says assistants have to allocate their time to best serve victims.
I tended to prioritize, and the crimes in which I would become the most involved were those in which there was a homicide, a child crime such as child abuse or sexual abuse of a child, sexual assault of adults, men or women, of course, kidnappings, some robberies, and very few first-degree burglaries. And first-degree burglary, of course, is listed as a violent offense.
The reason Calamine didn't deal with all the robberies and burglaries, as well as property crimes, is not that she didn't care.
If your tires have been slashed and your car window's broken out and that's your only vehicle, certainly to you, that's very egregious. That's something that is very difficult to deal with, particularly if you have limited financial resources.
The Pennington County Victims Assistance Office includes a restitution assistant who works with victims to determine their financial losses. There is also an assistant who focuses on domestic violence, stalking, and protection orders. And the office, through a grant, has just added a fourth employee. Still, with all those assistants, Calamine says the office would not be able to handle every crime, no matter how petty.
Many, many, many people come to this town and our victims.
Calamine says Pennington County has a high rate of crime, and in particular violent crime, in part because it's a transient area with tourism, the Ellsworth Air Force Base, nearby Indian reservations, and events such as the Sturgis Rally and Central States Fair, providing a stream of people coming and going from elsewhere.
If there is a person who is killed within our county and his parents live in California, they deserve as many of the rights as we would give to a state resident. So many of the people that we dealt with were not only from Rapid City, but they were from across the state and, you know, from out of the state.
Calamine supports the Crime Victims Bill of Rights, currently located in statute, as well as other victims' rights scattered throughout state laws. She says those laws provide protections, but still allow counties to establish practices that fit their needs. She does appreciate parts of Amendment S. For instance, it provides that when a convicted defendant starts paying restitution, crime victims are paid back first. Law officers give notice of rights and where to get help to victims at the scene of the crime, and she says the ballot issue has brought attention to a topic that needs discussion.
Paying attention to folks who have been harmed in our community and giving them the services they deserve to recover, you know, they'll never be the same. I think Marcy's Law has called attention to the fact that, yes, crime victims certainly deserve to be respected, treated with dignity, treated fairly by the system.
Other crime victims' assistants in the state, located in various states' attorneys' offices, were contacted for their opinion. Those who responded also oppose Amendment S, although they're not opposed to strengthening crime victims' rights. The amendment is also opposed by the South Dakota State's Attorneys Association and the State Bar, although individual attorneys might support it. South Dakota voters will decide on November 8th whether to add the amendment to the state constitution. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.